You're listening to the MicroConf podcast. I'm your host, Rob Walling. And in this episode, it's a MicroConf tactics episode where I talk about how to create an MVP step by step. So for those who are early in the ideation, the validation phase, or maybe if you're thinking about launching another product, I walk through step by step, as the title says, how to create a minimum viable product. Of course, there's no one blueprint or one path to create an MVP. So I do walk through a few different ideas. Obviously, if you have other thoughts on how one could create an MVP, feel free to click through to the YouTube video. There's a link in the show notes and post a comment on this video on YouTube, or you can go to microconf.com/YouTube to subscribe to see all these videos. And of course, to see the amazing visuals that my team puts together for each of these videos. Before we dive into the episode, I wanted to let you know that our MicroConf Mastermind program is open for applications. I've talked a lot on this podcast about how important masterminds have been to my entrepreneurial success, but finding the right founders to join up with can be hard. Over the past few years, our team has successfully hand-matched over 1,000 founders into mastermind groups by looking at your revenue, team size, strengths, goals, and a few other data points to make sure your peer group is the right fit. Once matched, you'll also have access to our mentorship series, a 3-month program where you can connect with some great minds in sales, business development, marketing, and more. If you're looking for accountability, honest feedback about your business, and the opportunity to make new friends that care about your success, you can learn more and apply today at microconfmasterminds.com. Applications are closing soon, so make sure to get your application in by June 12th. Again, that's microconfmasterminds.com. So with that, let's dive in to how to create an MVP. Picture this. You're a startup founder with a product idea, but no clue what to do next. Or maybe your next steps are to sit in your basement and build for months because that's what's comfortable for you. By the end of this video, I hope you'll have a clear picture of how to get from your idea to a minimum viable product in a way that doesn't require you to sit in your basement for 6 months guessing at what to build next. And if you stick around till the end of this video, I'm going to tell you about a pretty clever minimum viable product that was used to validate an idea for a company that later sold for more than $1 billion. Your first question might be, what is this MVP, minimum viable product? A minimum viable product is the minimum thing that you need to build to show to customers or to have customers use to validate your next hypothesis. This does not have to be software. And often it's not a simpler or final version of your final product. The purpose of an MVP is to figure out if the problem that you're trying to solve is worth solving at all, and if the approach that you're considering is headed in the right direction. Without building an MVP, you're taking a lot of guesses. If you've talked to potential customers and they tell you they need a problem solved, you don't know how badly they really need that solved because people will accidentally lie to you or they'll tell you something to make you feel better. And showing people mock-ups or asking them, hey, if I built this, would it solve your problem? It's just messy data. In addition, even surveying or doing customer interviews, you never really know until you put something in front of a customer and you see how they react to it. Something that actually tries to solve their problem in a minimally viable way. You might be wondering, when should you build an MVP? And usually it's when you're trying to solve a problem that you think exists, but you're not quite sure if it's a desperate pain point. Or you're pretty convinced it's a pain point. Hopefully you have some data to back that up through conversations, or you've seen it firsthand at a workplace, or heard someone complain about it and validated that with other folks, but you're not quite sure about the right way to solve it. The idea behind an MVP is to spend the minimum amount of time to get to the point where you're getting data and information back from customers that aren't just conversations. Obviously, talking to customers is important, but that MVP is the next step of validation. Now, if I were building a startup today and I knew there was a desperate pain point and I had 10 people lined up to try my product, right, to try the solution that I was looking to build, I would still actually build an MVP. I would build the minimum viable product to validate that next step. Because the problem with most startup founders is we're way too overconfident that we know what will work, that we know it's a problem, that we know how to solve it. When realistically, everything should kind of be a hypothesis until proven otherwise. And that's something that an MVP can help you do. And remember, an MVP may not require any code. And an MVP is usually not just a simplified version of what you imagine being the final solution. In this video, I'm going to talk about three different approaches to creating an MVP. And the first one is one I call human automation. Some folks call this the Wizard of Oz approach, based on the quote from Wizard of Oz, "Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain." In essence, this is where you have a service that appears to be automated, might appear to be software, but in fact, you're taking in an input, and then you have folks on the back end that are doing work. You have humans that are slicing videos or sorting and cataloging things and then returning with a response. One example for this is, what if I wanted to sell sales leads to freelance web developers, and I was going to go crawl and scrape the internet to try to get these leads to hand to these freelancers? I could either build a huge scraping engine, spend a lot of time doing that, or I could literally have human beings, maybe some virtual assistants in the Philippines or somewhere else that's relatively inexpensive. I could have them crawling the internet and doing it manually and gathering these into a Google Sheet or a CSV. Now, is that scalable? Is it profitable? No, very likely not. But what you're doing is you're testing the hypothesis, will anyone pay for this? Will people remain subscribed? Does this solve a desperate pain point without going and spending 6 months in your basement building a scraper? So that was human automation. The second approach to building an MVP is to use no code. And one example I can think of with no code, instead of actually building out a full software product, is an idea I've mentioned on this channel before. It's an audio and video project management tool, something that you might use to produce a podcast or produce videos on this YouTube channel. And this is not the editing and the cataloging of the videos themselves or the audio files. This is a project management tool that you could use to collaborate with an editor. So there's a lot of create, read, update, delete, pointing to some files in a Dropbox file. The editor does this, sets it to a status of publish, and then someone else puts it into WordPress and publishes it or puts it into YouTube. So it's just a lot of flags that are being moved on and off and a lot of email notifications that are going out to people to let them know about the next step in the workflow. 5 or 10 years ago, if I told you, go build that, even go build an MVP, you would probably fire up your text editor and start writing some Python or writing some Rails. But these days with no code, this type of thing where it's a pretty simple create, read, update, delete workflow notification, you can build that in no code. And the reason I know is because we've done that. My producer, Ron, here at MicroConf has built both a podcast and a YouTube production system all on top of Airtable. And he's not a developer, and he built a pretty robust system that we've used to produce hundreds of episodes of my podcast, Startups for the Rest of Us, and hundreds of videos on this YouTube channel. And the idea here is, depending on the MVP you need to build, sometimes human automation is the best approach. Sometimes no code is the best approach. If you are going to go the no code approach, the main platforms most people use, I mean, there are hundreds of no code tools, but the major players in the space are, of course, Bubble, Airtable, Zapier, and Make. And you'll find that you can build pretty robust, especially project management type tools in these no code apps. The third approach to building an MVP, of course, is full code, right? If you're a developer yourself and you want to spend a few months building something, and that is the minimum viable way to do it, you might need to break out the elbow grease and write some code. Now, if you are not a developer, the odds are stacked against you. I'm just going to be honest. Like, finding a developer co-founder is probably the path that I would personally pursue. If you eventually want to build a SaaS startup, you're probably going to want a co-founder. Hiring a developer or an agency, it can work, but realistically, what I've tended to see is, if you're not a developer, you don't know how to evaluate a developer or an agency. So you trust them when they say they can build great software. Most people don't build great products. And so after 6 months or 12 months, you have all this technical debt. You have to start over, rewrite it from scratch. I've seen multiple non-technical founders have to go through this. And I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying the odds are stacked against you. When building an MVP, how do you know it's ready? And it's usually when you believe it solves the minimum pain point that someone might be willing to pay for, or at least might be willing to engage with you around. Maybe they're not willing to pay for it yet, but it's the first link on the chain, so to speak. You have to think about, what can't you ship without? What is the core feature or features that you need? There are a lot of features that you don't need in an MVP, even if you're building software. You don't need billing. You can run billing manually. You can literally have people Venmo you money, sign up for a PayPal subscription, give you a check, send them a Stripe payments link. You don't need to build billing code in order to have a minimum viable product. You don't need to be able to do refunds. You don't need password resets. Oftentimes, you don't need delete buttons anywhere. You can go manually delete things. There are so many things that you can cut corners on in an MVP and still have a viable product. No matter how I was building an MVP today, whether it's human automation or no code or writing code, I would want to get the scope of the MVP into writing. And I would want to have conversations with customers validating that this is going to solve a problem that they think is worth solving and in a way you think that they might want to pay for. And then scope that out, try to keep it small and build it out. Some people ask, how long should an MVP take to build? Of course, it depends. Some people can get an MVP out in a weekend. You hear the great examples of launching a quick AI wrapper that you can use to chat with your PDFs over a weekend. That was probably an MVP. Other times, it might take you a few months of nights and weekends to cobble something together. I think if you're spending more than, I don't know, 2 or 3 months putting an MVP together, it depends on if you're working nights and weekends or if you're working full time. But by the time you get into the hundreds of hours building one, you may either be tackling a problem that's too complex or you may be overbuilding your MVP. In a minute, I'm going to tell you about a really clever MVP that was used to validate a company that later sold for more than $1 billion. Before I do that, I want to invite you to MicroConf Remote. We're going to be focusing on early stage SaaS sales. It's happening March 12th and 13th, and it's an online event. It's really inexpensive and will be super helpful for those who want to learn more about early stage sales. We're going to have 4 keynotes filled with practical, tactical advice on how to improve your sales game. And speakers include Rachel Liao of Fuse Inventory, Craig Hewitt of Castos, Daniel Ebert of Sales MVP, and Sam Howard, who's going to focus on sales messaging. After the keynote sessions, we have Founder by Founder, where you'll get to chat with other attendees. You can get your tickets at microconfremote.com. So the MVP I want to tell you about that I think is really clever is Zappos. The founder of Zappos wanted to validate the online market for selling shoes. So the founder initially went to local shoe stores, took pictures of their inventory, and posted them online. When a customer bought a pair, he would purchase the shoes at full price from the store and ship them himself directly. This approach validated the business model and consumer interest without the need for a huge upfront investment in inventory or complex e-commerce system. So he took a no-code and a human automation approach to validating Zappos. It's a company that later sold to Amazon for $1.2 billion.